Newberry.com.
No, we're not from West Newberry. No, we can't hip-hop like you. My client is the conqueror. I'm just Brock's advocating Jew. You gonna beat Brock's ass cause you the doctor of the thugs? I mean, you've beaten all the best, but now Lesnar's on your plate. You say your time is now. Brock says your calendar's out of date.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
I have options on how I handle this. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tweet about it until my fingers bleed. In that tweet, and however many characters I get, I am going to threaten. That's right. If I don't get what I want, I'm going to riot. And if that doesn't work, then by God, me and my friend Mark, we're going to stop watching.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
Let me tell you something, you self-righteous little puke.
I am an A-plus player. I always have been, and I always will be.
And Lindsay Ward.
I have shattered glass ceilings. I have broken down doors. I have done more in 1 year than all of you have done in your entire collective careers.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Yo, 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 yo. Pop a 40 and check your rollies. It's crime time.
Brooklyn, Brooklyn. We're bringing it, bringing it.
Bringing the hood to you.
We're bringing it, bringing it.
What you gonna do?
We're bringing it, bringing it.
Bringing the hood to you.
We're bringing it, bringing it.
Yeah, that's how.
Hey, yo, no more Hollywood. Nah. This is Hollywood. Yeah. And it's crime time.
Be scared?
You probably should.
Ah.
I come from the streets. I was raised in the gutter. I run up on your mother for that bread and butter.
The only reason we're playing this music is for the Brooklyn. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Oh My God, Edgy Christian, our awesome show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Because if you're not watching the WWE Network like I am right now, they just did the Wyatt entrance with kazoos. Oh, sweet Jesus. It was kind of awesome. Anyway, this is Raw Post Show presented by YouTube.com/MBG1211. You know, Wrestling Figure Wednesday with Matt Goldberg. And PWMania.com. I'm Sorokin. Joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Don't mind me. I'm just sitting over here with a broken heart because they're breaking up my family and nothing is going to appease me about that. Nothing. They are breaking up my family. I'm just not okay with this.
Kazoos.
I don't care.
Sheep mask.
Told you. Nothing. Nothing will appease me about this. I am not happy that they are breaking up the Wyatts. Not happy about this. Eric is going to die on his own. Do you understand that?
Kazoos.
No.
Sheep mask?
No.
iPhone with as lantern?
No. Nothing. Nothing will appease me about this. You can expect another rant on Thursday, y'all.
Just saying?
No, not happy. Not a happy camper right now. Not happy.
You know who wasn't a happy camper tonight besides you?
Dean Ambrose?
Well, Dean wasn't, but Seth wasn't either. And that's how we started out Raw.
Well, you know, Seth, you reap what you sow, dude.
Seth Rollins came to the ring and he had a man. It's very serious. He asked if what Ambrose did last week was funny. He said what was funny was and the real highlight of last week was when he hit the curb stop on Ambrose and then seen on the briefcase. Show the clip. The Cruiserweight Stooges came to the ring. And while they were trying to tell Seth to probably leave, Seth doesn't understand what he's doing. That he's putting a target on his back. Seth says he loves it. This is what he lives for. He's standing in the center of the ring with all eyes looking at him. Everyone wants a piece of Seth Rollins. Dean Ambrose can't wait to get his hands on him. Neither could John Cena as he came right to the ring, attacked Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins leaves the crowd, and wouldn't you know it, someone tapped him on the shoulder.
Actually, no. He didn't tap him on the shoulder. Seth was smacking him in the stomach. And, well, Seth turns around, and oops, wouldn't you know it, there's a Dean Ambrose standing behind him in the crowd.
That was kind of awesome. Dean started to beat up on Rollins. Cena got a little bit on Rollins as well. Then Ambrose dove on Cena and Rollins. And then Rollins escaped. Triple H and Stephanie came out. Stephanie says they're not going to let this get out of the madness get out of control before it starts. They told Seth that if he came out, they were going to attack him, and well, that's what happened. Hunter says they both want a piece of Seth Rollins, and the Authority stands for opportunity. And we're going to give you a chance to both get your hands on Seth Rollins. And she asked the people they want to see it. They cheered. If you want it, you're going to get it, said Hunter, as Dean Ambrose and John Cena will face Seth Rollins and his partner Kane, and their partner Randy Orton.
Shock of shockers there.
So we have a 3-on-2 handicap match. Before we get going, good opening segment.
Good opening segment again. My sole complaint is the fact that Cena is being interjected into this feud when he has no business being in this feud. This really needs to be Dean and Seth. This should have been Dean and Seth from the get-go. The fact that you have Cena interjecting himself because Rollins cost him the match with Brock Lesnar. Well, you know what, dude? Why don't you get the stones and challenge Brock Lesnar again for the title and prove him wrong? Not interrupt business you have no business being in, frankly. Just saying. That's my only complaint, is I hate the fact that they have put John Cena in this feud with Rollins and Ambrose. It's like, if you're going to stick somebody in there, put Reigns in, because at least Reigns has a beef with Rollins. And then you can have Reigns and Ambrose duke it out over who gets Seth's ass. But, you know, it's like, interjecting Cena is just like, really? Really? It was one match. I think you'll get over it.
Yeah.
But the segment itself was fine. The segment was good. Dean sneaking up on Seth in the crowd, that was good.
I don't know what I'm watching right now.
Well, continue your show.
Edge is talking about being serious about talking about suckage on the show right now. Anyway, talking about Jillian Hall and stuff. Anyway, Christian brought up General Awards. Anyway, get the network that's kind of reeking of awesomeness. Anyway, so we were alerted that Big Show will not be competing tonight.
And why not?
Because he has to undergo some sort of counseling of some sort, I believe.
Sensitivity training, because he desecrated the Russian flag.
Right. Yeah. So we don't get the match. I'm okay with this. Because of what happened later. Anyway, our opening contest, the Usos and Dolph Ziggler taking on Cesaro, Goldust, and Stardust. In 6-man tag team action.
It was a solid match. It was nice to see Ziggler found the title.
Yeah, the United got him his luggage.
Which, I'm not sure if that was all a PR stunt or what.
Funny.
It was funny, but it's like, really? Who packs their title belt in their checked luggage? Like, don't you know the TSA and the baggage handlers go through your bags and they will steal stuff like that? Especially stuff like that, because they'll turn around and sell it for money?
Yeah.
Because they can just claim it's a replica title, and there are hundreds of them out on eBay or any other auction place, and nobody would be the wiser.
Pretty much, yeah. So this was, you know, your standard, typical tag team match. The fans were behind Dolph Ziggler, and Usos and Ziggler won with Jimmy Uso pinning Stardust after the splash. Solid stuff. Any other thing? Anything else you want to add to that?
I mean, it was your standard 6-man tag. You know, that's really all I got.
So then it was the segment of the night. Yeah! break your wine bottles over your asses, because that's what Kathy Lee and Hoda did.
What was this segment? Like, what the hell was it even?
And yes, Tommy. Sarcasm. Sarcasm. I don't know. I don't know.
Like, this was just... Like, you want to talk about a train wreck amongst a series of train wrecks in this show. This was just... Yeah. This was beyond special. I don't even have a word to describe how special this was. This was just literally... You had Kathy Lee and Hoda out there, and the fans were having none of it. They didn't want them out there. They were bouncing around. They were smashing wine bottles over each other's asses. They were just... Yeah, and then when, like, the Rosebuds went to carry them out, Kathy Lee was having, like, none of it, and, like, Hoda was all awkward, and I'm pretty sure people got flashed, including small children, which is probably not what you want. But, yeah, this was just, like, what was this even? Beyond the pitch first, like, this was one this whole show was one gigantic commercial for Susan G. Komen, which is fine. There is nothing wrong with that, but if you're going to do this every show for a month, we need to talk about this, WWE, because this was a little bit ridiculous, and this was just the start of it. Like, this was part one of the infomercial for it, and this was just... Bray Wyatt could have had a match on this show. It could have gone in this spot, in the time that they used, and was he on the show? No.
But,
beyond segments.
But
beyond commercials.
But.
I found him. He's lost.
Nothing but
broken memories.
Everything about him
was shattered. Life is cruel.
She took everything away with her cold hands.
They teach our boys to wear the skin of a man.
To believe. And to fight for things that they can't even understand.
What do you give a man that has nothing?
Nothing.
I gave him a reason. To exist.
I fixed him.
And now, I send him out
to your world.
Amongst the monsters of the heathen. And now I hunt.
Luke Harper.
In peace. Myself back together.
Luke Harper.
With pieces of you. I set free.
I didn't know whether to laugh or cry that they followed the Kathy Lee Hoda segment with the Wyatts. It was the Luke Harper promo again, which is a really good promo if you haven't seen it. And they're breaking up the family, which I'm going to keep lamenting for, like, ever until the family gets back together in, like, a year. 6 months to a year. That's what I'm giving it. 6 months to a year, and they're probably going to put the Wyatts back together. I just have that hunch. But... What did you think of the Kathy Lee segment before we move on?
The garbage. It sucked. It really, really sucked.
I mean, I get what they're trying to do, and I applaud it, but at the same time, it's like... They really stacked their show around all of this, and that's not what they needed to do, because the show just, at this point at least, I just lost complete interest in the show from here on out, which I was just done. And I think that was a lot of people, because a lot of people were complaining about this segment. They were so proud it was trending on Twitter, and it's like, yeah, it's not trending for any good reason. I can promise you that.
Yeah, if you actually look at your tweets, yeah.
I know a lot of people were going, what the hell?
Yeah, it was, I was lost for words, honestly.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were, but takeaway is, you know, yay, they're getting publicity after Suzuki Komen, yay, we got Wyatt's after this, but it was the Luke promo again, which is a amazing promo. Props to the person that made it.
It was a little bit different Luke promo, it sounded like.
No, it was the same one.
Same one? I thought it was a different one.
No, it was the same one. No, we got a different one later in the show.
And sadly, unless WWE puts it up, we don't have audio for that one. It sucks.
That's okay, because I can just sit here and pretty much just lament it.
I know. Anyway, but we go from Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper to Bo Dallas.
Somebody had a frowny face.
So we had Bo Dallas versus Mark Henry. And Mark Henry just destroyed Bo Dallas. Pulls apart the announce table, ready to put him the world's strongest slam through the announce table. But Bo escapes. Gets back in the ring. 9, 10, the winner of the match. As a result of a countout, Bo Dallas. Mark Henry is very angry.
Run, Bo. Just run.
And he did. He thankfully ran this time. Solid stuff continues the feud.
I like it. I like the fact that you had Bo get mad. I like the fact that you had Bo kind of get his butt beat a little bit by Mark Henry, and then he wins by count out, which is a good way for him to keep his momentum going.
His momentum. Momentum.
Momentum going, and continue to make Mark Henry look strong, which is what you want. So I like how they're continuing this, they're moving this forward, but we got even more awesome news than Bo Dallas winning. Bo Dallas is getting an IC title shot.
On Main Event?
On Main Event.
On the WWE Network for only $9.99.
So proud of him.
So proud of him. He won't win, but he's get the shot anyhow. Yeah, I like that they're building Mark Henry as, you know, I don't like happy-go-lucky Mark Henry. I like angry Mark Henry.
Yeah, Mark Henry is kind of one of those that he's a great guy and he's a nice guy, but just when you look at him, he's this big, scary, intimidating dude, and you don't expect him to be nice. You almost want to see him just tear people apart.
Yeah, you kind of do. Mark Henry, cool guy. So, anyway. We come back from break, and the lunatic himself, Dean Ambrose, is coming to the ring.
Somebody else has a frowny face.
Yeah. He looks around, says he couldn't sit back there any longer. There's something just bothering him, really bothering him. And it's John Cena's been all up in his face. Dean says he doesn't like that. John is his partner tonight. Looks just like he was supposed to be on SmackDown. Then we saw what happened from SmackDown. Dean says he told John Cena not to give him the reason not to like him. Dean says that he is trying. He's trying real hard. But before we go to Battle Night, he wants John to come out so they can settle this issue face to face and hash it out. Dean asks John to indulge him with his presence. So John Cena thanked the Brooklyn for his warm welcome, as it were, because you know they were back to doing the Cena sucks. John Cena sucks during the entrance, which is kind of funny. John thanked the universe, and he said it would have been the same way if they were cheering for Dean Ambrose, so we got some Dean Ambrose pops. He asked if that's safe for Dean Ambrose, and they, you know, still call cheer for Dean Ambrose. Ambrose said he would have done the same thing on Friday, but because he doesn't give a crap about John, and John doesn't give a crap about him, they don't care what others think about them. Maybe they can coexist for one night, but if not, he has no problem dropping Dean where he stands and taking all the authority by himself. John tells Dean that last time he dealt with the authority by himself, he was sent through the cinder blocks, and he was out for 5 weeks. And then Lindsay, there was like sort of this kiss of death thing that John Cena said. He said a line. Do you remember what he said?
I don't recall.
Well, good thing.
You know what though, Mr. Ambrose, I got to admit, you got something that no other WWE superstar has. Something I haven't seen in a long time. Guts.
Do you have it? Do you have it?
Guts.
Yeah, we have a Guts reference.
You have way too much time on your damn hands. You know that? Like, way, way too much time.
What? What? I did it during commercial for all. What? Do you have Guts?
I'd like to point out there are other people on the roster that have had Guts, Cena, and you have squashed them all.
Again, that was the kiss of death I was talking about, you know.
Yeah, because, you know, he went on to say that Dean, you know, says and does what he likes, and, you know, he hasn't seen that in a long time. Again, Bray Wyatt.
When you are saying it to someone who has 0 pound dropping you on your ass in the ring, you are giving him a reason not to like Dean. John tells Dean not to give him a reason not to like him.
Dean's okay, wait. Before you continue, John should already not like Dean because Dean whipped his ass for like a straight solid year in the Shield. Like, how many times did the Shield beat up John Cena and like triple powerbomb him? How often did that happen?
At least a half a dozen.
Okay, John, that's already a reason not to like him. Because he's already beaten you up several times with his buddies. Now he's solo and he can do whatever the hell he wants. You really want that? Hey, dude, think about this for a second.
Well, then Dean says, well, you know, he's not really listening. He says, I'm kind of hungry and I'm going to go to Coney Island, get a hot dog, ride the Cyclone and the Wonder Wheel. So, good luck, John.
I laughed. I laughed so hard because it's like, how do you no-sell John Cena? That is how you no-sell John Cena and just say F you. It's, you know, basically, you're going to do what I want. Dean's like, nope, I'm really not. I'm going to do my own thing. So you know what? I'm going to go get a hot dog. Peace, yo. I'm out. And he leaves and he just walks away and it's hilarious. And Cena looks completely confused, especially when Dean's like, oh yeah, I'm kind of hungry. Like, Cena was just like, what the hell?
Right. So, that was a fun little segment. Dean was great at the end.
Oh, Dean was fantastic at the end.
So, we come back from break, and, well, John Cena's walking around, well, backstage.
The champ is here! I'm sorry, is that awkward?
Yeah,
it probably is right now. Yeah. Sorry, it's uncomfortable, but... What are these kids nowadays, huh? It's between you and me, these kids like Dean Ambrose. What is it? They don't even understand the opportunity that's being put in front of them. I don't know, what doesn't he get? Dean Ambrose, we give him the opportunity to main event Monday Night Raw and partner with the John Cena. And what does he do? Leaves his partner hanging to what? Go get a hot dog? That's how he treats John Cena? I mean, he kind of leaves you hanging now in this 3-on-1 handicap match. I feel bad. No, don't get me wrong. I know how you are. I mean, I know you'll have the whole C Nation just riled up behind you. And they'll have your back, but I don't know. Just doesn't seem right. 3-on-1 handicap match.
You know, I know what you're trying to do. Protect Seth Rollins at all costs. I don't care what kind of match I'm in tonight. Seth Rollins is going to come to a point where he cannot run away. As far as tonight's concerned, to get to Seth Rollins, if I got to go through Kane, if I got to go through Randy Orton, that's what I'm going to do.
You know what, John? It's what I admire about you. It's what I have always admired about you. It's that resolve. It's that determination. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Just to make sure you get a piece of Seth Rollins' time. When that bell rings, when that match starts, Seth Rollins is going to start that match. I'm going to make him. Seth Rollins will start that match with John Cena when that bell rings. That way you'll know you'll get a piece, even though it is 3-on-1. Good luck tonight, John. And remember, keep calm and never give up.
Right.
Hunter, you asshole. Like, let's... You condescending asshole. I love you so much.
I love when he trolls. I love when he trolls. That's all I gotta say. I love when he trolls. Match number 3 on the card. Summer Rae versus Brie Bella with Brie's arm tied behind her back. And once you know it, Brie does what Nikki couldn't do, and that's win.
With one arm tied behind her back.
So she beats Summer Rae, and the whole point is, yeah, Brie's doing... You know how Nikki couldn't win these matches? Brie is finding a way to win every single time.
I love how they have, like, a little restraint now for it.
Yeah.
They actually got something made for this.
At least for the girls, yeah.
At least for the girls, yeah. But, I mean, it was a solid match. Nikki leaves in a huff, and Brie leads in a yes chant.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. We then go backstage, and Kane has a confusal.
He has a fruit basket.
He doesn't know how to deal with it.
Kane, honey, it's healthy for you. You know, remember fruits and vegetables? Daniel Bryan taught you all about them? Yes? No? Maybe?
Maybe. Kind of. Miz says it's the LA way to say I'm sorry. Kane says he doesn't want his apples, oranges, or apologies. He sees right through both of them. Kane says coming into his office is Dents. Dents is not apologizing to Sheamus for what he did on SmackDown. Dents is getting put in a match against Sheamus tonight. Kane says that the Miz will probably be eating a bro kick later. And then Sandow returned and got the fruit basket.
And Kane was just confused.
He doesn't understand fruit basket.
Kane, honey, we got to work on your charm and your manners just a little bit.
Swagger versus Tyson Kidd. Solid match. You had Natty in Kidd's corner. Zeb Coulter with Swagger. Kidd tapped out to the ankle lock.
And he had a mad at Natty.
Yeah, the bickering continues.
I just wish they would play up the bickering more. Just because, like, you really don't have Natty doing a lot of it. And I wish he would have them bicker more, because that's far more entertaining than them just shooting looks at each other and Nick and Natty trying to act all innocent. Like, I really liked it when she took the phone away from him and she walked off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but, you know, decent match, solid match.
Edge and Christian hype the special currently airing on the WWE Network. Week of Awesomeness, then live via satellite. Michael Cole asks Roman Reigns how he's doing. He says he's doing better and the doctors are happy with his progress. Roman says that he would rather be in Brooklyn, but he knows that it's a matter of time until he's strapping up the vest and kicking everyone's ass. With the right attitude, focus, and positive attitude, that will happen sooner rather than later.
They've got to get Roman a mouthpiece. I love Roman to death. I think he's got pretty much everything except the mic skills. He really needs someone to talk for him. Or they need to help him learn how to talk. Because he tries so hard, and bless him, he just tries, but he just can't. He really just can't talk. And it's something of... If you get him someone to help him, at least in the early stages of his career, that will make all the difference in the world. Like, he needs someone to just build him up as the beast that we all know he is. Like, Paul Heyman's not doing anything. Somebody go find Paul Heyman and stick him with Roman Reigns.
I got nothing to add. He said nothing.
Yeah, he just pretty much said, I'll be back soon. Peace, y'all.
And the only reason he was on Raw because via satellite or backstage was because he was in town for a signing.
Pretty much.
El Torito versus the Gator. Torito won. The fans wanted none of this.
Yeah, I wanted none of this.
No one really wanted a part of this.
I mean, again, this is something of... You could have had any number of other people on this show, but you're doing Slater Gator for some reason, which there's nothing wrong with Slater Gator. There is a time and a place for Slater Gator. This was not the time and the place for it. And it's just kind of one of those things where they wasted a good, 10 minutes on this?
Five. Felt like 10.
It felt like 10. It's just, it was something of, it's... Yeah, this is something that, you know, you do after the show, that you do in a dark match, that you do... like, if you want to have the Matadors and Slater Gator themselves feud, fine. I don't have a problem with that. But when you put Torito and Hornswoggle in a gator suit, and you have them wrestling on Monday Night Raw, that's a little ridiculous. That's not a shot at Torito or Hornswoggle, but it's like there's so many other people that you could be dedicating that time to, and you're not, because you're doing this instead. It just was really kind of one of those segments where you're like, no, get this off my TV. Like, you've already wasted enough time with Kathy Lee and Hoda. Can we just not with this?
So, Lana and Rusev came to the ring. Honestly, today's a great day. It's the birthday of the most powerful person in the world, Dixie. No. He's virile and muscular. He is the president of Russia, Vladimir Putin. She says everyone wants to pay respect to the Bulgarian brute, Rusev. Lana says that she is afraid that there will be no match tonight with the Big Show. Big Show was suspended for desecrating the Russian flag. He should be in jail like all of you. By supporting him, you have committed a hate crime. You despise us because we support the superior country, Mother Russia. Lana tells Rusev to tell the bigots what he will do when he faces the Big Show. Rusev speaks in Bulgarian and says that America is no superpower. America is nothing. Big Show is afraid of him. He tells Big Show to come to the ring so he can crush him. Rusev says that the Big Show is a coward, just like all of you are cowards. The fans were getting on Rusev and Lana at this point. And then...
If you smell what The Rock is cooking...
Goosebumps. The Rock returns.
This is the moment where, like, everybody stopped what they were doing and actually turned and looked at their TV to make sure it really was The Rock and wasn't just a joke. Because they do this a lot, where they'll play somebody's music and then somebody comes out and it's obviously not that person. And it's like when you're not expecting that person to show up, it's like, wait, is it actually them or is it an impersonator? Which is it? And when The Rock walked out, you're like, one, how the hell did they get him in the building without anybody leaking that? Because all day, you have heard nothing about The Rock possibly being
well, off. No, not true.
I haven't, but I've stayed off the dirt sheets.
He was in town today.
Yeah, but he has a place in NYC.
Yeah, he was in town to meet with Time Warner. And that's why he was in town. So was Chris Jericho. Rock and Chris Jericho were both in town today. And then, like, 30 seconds before he says he comes out, it says, he tweets out something, and that's why when I sent you the message. And he says, surprise! And he popped up on Monday Night Raw.
Which was a great surprise. It was awesome to see him.
It really...
Because this is the moment we all went, oh yay, Raw finally got interested.
It really, really did.
Rusev, Lana, right now, we need you to do two things. That's know your role. 4:30 a.m., The Rock gets up, rolls out of bed in his home in Florida. The Rock gets a little caffeine. He goes right to the gym. Starts clanging and banging like a madman. Clanging and banging in the gym, just like you, Rusev. But the only difference is The Rock doesn't pull his shorts up to his nipples. Well, you're running around here making everybody look at your Moscow moose knuckle. Then The Rock was done clanging and banging. Then The Rock got on a jet and he flew. The Rock flew to one place, and that place was the Big Apple. The Rock flew to the Big Apple. His jet landed. The Rock's jet landed in Queens. Then The Rock took a cab to Manhattan. And The Rock went to visit Lana's favorite place in the city, the Meatpacking District. Then The Rock didn't wait for a ferry. No. The Rock don't wait for no ferry. The Rock jumped in the water and he swam to Staten Island. Then The Rock jumped on the 4 train and headed right to the Bronx. The Rock went to the Bronx so he could get out and show respect to the captain and say, Derek Jeter! And then after he said Derek Jeter, The Rock had one last borough to go to. The Rock crossed a certain iconic bridge. Then The Rock went down Atlantic Avenue. And then The Rock drove right up to the Barclays Center. Then The Rock walked through those doors, walked down that ramp, got in the middle of this ring, the people's ring, in front of the millions of The Rock's fans, so The Rock can proudly say, finally, The Rock has come back to Brooklyn!
Who do you think you are? Coming in here and interrupting the great Rusev. You need to shut up!
And you need to stop dressing like a Soviet streetwalker. Listen, you American piece of garbage. This is your last warning. Leave now, or I will crush you. Leave now, or you're gonna crush the Rock. Is that what you think you're gonna do? You're gonna crush the Rock. So of all the things you can say, you go one-on-one with a great one, and that's what you say. First of all, I got to tell you something. Come this close, your breath is smelling like Chewbacca's hairy beanbag. And you, I got to tell you something. Live, in person, you're beautiful. I know, right? I mean, you are gorgeous. You're stunning. Lana, in person, you are, as we say here in America, smoking. But it's too bad you're walking around here like somebody shoved a Smirnoff bottle up your Putin. So now back to you, Chewie. Is that what you think? You think you're just gonna crush the Rock? It doesn't matter what you think! It doesn't matter. Let the Rock tell you something right now. Listen, let the Rock tell you something right now. There's a fact. There's a reason why nobody's been able to beat you. There's a reason why. The Rock knows you're bigger, you're stronger, you're more dangerous than practically everybody back there. That's a fact. But here's another fact. And this is what The Rock is going to tell you. As a matter of fact, we are going to tell you another fact. That fact is this. And no one else back there has been able to tell you this, but The Rock will tell you this. You see, you come out here, you run down our country. It's a country we love. It's a country we're proud of. You come down. When you come out here, we don't boo you because you support Russia. No. We boo you because you're both a couple of world-class international a-holes.
Enough! Just like the great Vladimir Putin once said, the comrade wolf knows whom to eat. And right now, Rusev is hungry.
And just like the great Jay-Z once said, allow me to reintroduce myself. I am the jabroni beating, pie eating, trail blazing, eyebrow raising, talking is done, you're out of your class, no sleep till Brooklyn, The Rock whips your ass.
And here's The Rock, already roasting us. Can you believe that?
The Bravo Bull lay on the SmackDown!
Rusev! Look at his legs! He's wobbling!
No! Oh, and Rusev! Set flying!
This is why The Rock is the most electrified man in all of sports entertainment!
The great one! Come on, Rusev! Come get yourself some!
Here's something before you two go that needs no translation. If you smell what the Rock is cooking.
What an incredible moment.
First things first, somebody backstage was having a problem with this segment. Because someone used this word awful lot on this segment. That one being Tyson Kidd. Holy crap, this was awesome.
Yeah. I'm just going to let you fanboy, because you're the Rock fanboy, so you go off.
This was great. This was a great segment. Lana could not stop but lose her crap during this one. She was trying so hard to keep a straight face, but you look over at her a couple of times, and she was cracking a smile, trying not to laugh. It was awesome. It was awesome seeing The Rock back overall. It was a great surprise. Apparently, he wasn't even supposed to be on the show until you know, late afternoon. They decided that he's in town. He came to the show. Bam! On Monday Night Raw. Fun. It was fun. It was entertaining. And it showed you something. There's no one on his level. Everyone is not on his level in terms of connecting with a crowd. It blew everybody away.
Oh yeah, like I said, this was the moment that everybody literally just stopped what they were doing and turned and looked at the TV, because you hear that music and you almost don't believe that he's there until he walks out, and then it's, holy crap, The Rock's on Raw. What is The Rock doing there? And my only real problem with this is that Lana tried to stand toe-to-toe with The Rock, and she almost did, but she's just not... In terms of what The Rock's promo was, she's just not on that level.
No, she did a good job, though. I was impressed.
She did. She did a good job. She did her best. And, like I said, if they had just scripted her out a little bit differently, I think she would have been able to stand toe-to-toe with him. But it's just his bullet points and her script didn't quite line up. And that's simply because of the fact that it was a last-minute addition to the show. But they did their best, and they got through it. And, yeah, I mean, if I was Lana, I'd be standing there, you know, cracking a smile, too, because it's, you know, how often do you get to say, oh, yeah, I got to work with The Rock tonight.
And here's the thing, people are going to, I know there's going to be critics of this segment going, oh, my God, The Rock beat up Rusev. This is going to make Rusev mad. It's going to make him even madder than he was. And he's going to come out better after going toe-to-toe with The Rock, because he's going to be angry.
Yeah. This is something of, you've had Rusev go through Mark Henry. He's getting ready to go through the Big Show. And you need to have Rusev get mad. You need to have Rusev get motivated. And this is the best way to do it, because it's, you can only have Rusev squash people for so long before it just gets dull. And it was to the point where it's getting dull. And so you need someone to come in and look at Rusev and Lana and, you know, be like, you know what? F you.
Yeah, pretty much. And this is what... See, this is where they're good at. They haven't found the right babyface, and The Rock's a great babyface in this role, and you need someone else to stand up to them like The Rock did, and Big Show's not it.
Mm-mm.
Big Show's going to be crushed by Rusev.
Well, Mr. Ba-ba-da-da could do it.
And Clip? Anyway.
I don't care.
I know you don't care. And plus, I have to, you know, get off my ass and do it. Anyway, AJ Lee and Paige take on... Alicia Fox and Paige take on AJ Lee and Emma in our next contest.
AJ looked like she couldn't be fucked.
She wanted no part of teaming with Emma. She was like, what's an Emma? At first, it was like, oh my God, AJ stole Paige's best friend. And, well, not really. Well, in real life, they are. But... besides the point. Alicia Fox and Paige picked up the win after AJ walked out, and then Emma got destroyed, and then Paige blew a kiss to AJ and then hit the rampage for the three count. Your winners, Paige and Alicia Fox.
And then Paige was yelling for AJ to come back.
Yeah. Then we had the moment that Lindsay cried about. Bray Wyatt comes on the screen and says that he was just a child. It was a cruel world to do this to one of your own. Only the strong survive. They took it. They pointed and laughed. They took his innocence. Just because he was different. You are all guilty. Bray says, he fixed them. Those who tormented him fear him and grieve him. Rowan says to fear him. Rowan has been set free. Bray says that they shall feel the smoke of his burning. Then we see a little pregnant woman. The words, it's coming. What's coming?
I don't know, but he's setting Eric Rowan free. And this is not a good thing, because God bless Eric. I love him to death. Kind of wondering if I can adopt him, just because he's going to be like a little lost puppy dog for a little while.
I told you last night this was coming.
Oh, I knew it was coming. Denial is a wonderful thing until it happens. And it's one of those things where it's like, I get that they're breaking them all free. I get that they're all going to find different levels of success in singles, and that's wonderful. I feel a little cheated because there's so much more that they could have done with the Wyatt family that they never did. And they seems like they either just let a lot of it fall by the wayside, or they just never bothered with it. And I was having this conversation with Brent where it was like, okay, well, at some point, because of the way that they're doing the split with the Wyatts, you could always bring them back together. You could always realize a lot of the things that you didn't. Like, you could always have Eric and Luke come back together and win the tag belts. You could always have Eric and Bray and Luke come back together to stand as the family and even possibly stand against the authority. You know, you could eventually have Luke or Eric challenge Bray. Luke challenge Eric, you know, whatever you want, you know, but it's something of, I feel like a lot of it just has gotten left by the wayside, and there were a lot of stories that they could have told within the family themselves that would eventually lead to the split, because it's like, we actually got more backstory on Luke Harper and Eric Rowan in these, you know, 15 to 30 second promos than we have in the entire year that they've been in the company in terms of on the main roster. Mm-hmm. You know, especially Eric. There's a lot with Eric that they could flesh out, and maybe they will now that he's in singles. But it's like you really have the opportunity, you know, several opportunities with especially Bray's opponents, for them to delve into his past and delve into Eric and delve into Luke and find out what form the family and kind of how to take the family apart. Because that's the thing. You never had anybody figure that out. You're talking about a group that took apart Daniel Bryan, that took apart CM Punk, that took apart John Cena, that took apart The Shield, and Kane, and so many others. And no one in that company ever figured out how to get under their skin, how to get to them, and how to drive them apart, and how to cause tension within the family. And that's something of, you have an opponent figure that out. You have an opponent get the best of the family, and then the family struggles to come out on top. I mean, it's just, there's so many different things that they could have done, and they still could do them, but it's just, you know, once they do the first split, that's it. They're probably never going to realize those different things, and it's just kind of disappointing and sad, because there's so much they could do, but they're not going to. And also, it's just with, you know, it's like I said on Thursday night, Bray will be fine, Luke will be fine. Eric is the wild card in all of this, and I just have a feeling Eric's not going to be fine, and that breaks my heart, because I love Eric. You know, I adore him for really stupid reasons, but I adore him, and it's something of, I don't want to see him fall by the wayside and end up being that jobber guy, or end up being the comedy dude, or whatever. I don't want to see that happen to any of them, because they're all really good. Especially as a trio. But it just, I don't know, it just, I feel cheated. You know, it was an awesome promo. It made Eric look like $1 million, which is what you want. They tease that something else is coming. Bray either possibly forming a new family, or something else is getting ready to be birthed, whatever. I don't know. Take it for what you will. But yeah, this was... It was a great promo, like I said. Made Garrick look great, but in terms of the Wyatt family split, I'm just not okay with it. Not okay with it at all.
See where it goes. Miz versus Sheamus, non-title match. Miz wins. Solid match.
Very solid match.
We had Joan London come out, talked about the Susan G. Komen Foundation. Crowd was very respectful, thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
We had more Edge and Christian. You know. They said, you don't have to listen to that bag of yogurt, Michael Cole, to watch the show, which is awesome. Then we get our main event. John Cena versus Seth Rollins and Randy Orton and Kane. You know, it was just a thing. Seth Rollins started out and then quickly targeted out right within 5 seconds. Cena never really got his hands on him. All hell broke loose. It was a 3-on-1. The referee called for the bell. And that's what happened. Kane gives Cena a chokeslam. Weren't ready for the RKO. And then Dean Ambrose shows up. But he didn't come alone. What did he have with him?
He had a hot dog cart.
Ambrose takes the hot dog, starts to eat one. Orton and Kane go after Ambrose. And, well, Dean had a holster. Inside said holster was not a gun. It was ketchup and mustard. And they sprayed it into the faces of Orton and Kane. Then he goes after Rollins. Kane and Orton return to the ring. It's 3-1. Cena gets back up. Rollins is knocked out of the ring. Cena gives Orton an attitude adjustment. Cena with a clothesline to Kane and Ambrose hit a suicide dive on the Rollins. Dean spills the contents of the cart on the Rollins and he goes for the tongs and, well, he used the tongs and, well, grabbed onto Seth Rollins' hot dog. Ambrose gets, Kane hits Ambrose, but Cena hits an attitude adjustment with Kane. Rollins gets back in the ring. Gets out of the ring, I should say. Triple H and Stephanie come out. Hunter says that this was an impressive mess, but who would have thought they would have to be on this? Who would have thought they would have been on the same page? Well, they will get to fight Seth Rollins, but they will have to fight each other first. And then Hell in a Cell will be John Cena versus Dean Ambrose, with the winner facing Seth Rollins inside Hell in a Cell.
Why can't we just get Dean versus Seth in the cell? Why? Why do we have to convolute it? Again, take Cena out of this feud, please.
Stephanie said it's official that either Dean Ambrose or John Cena will go straight to hell. Ambrose then kicks Cena and hit the double arm DDT to end Monday Night Raw. Yeah, John Cena needs to go. Dean Ambrose needs to kick Seth Rollins' ass in the cell. Simple as that.
Yeah, I think the match everybody really wants to see is Dean versus Seth in the cell, just because it would really be a fantastic match. But I just have this hunch that it's going to be a three-way in the cell, and John Cena is going to be in the cell with them, which he doesn't need to be. It's just, for the love of God, just send Dean and Seth to the cell, let them duke it out, let them fight it out, and then move them on from there. I mean, seriously. And if you have Roman show up and ensure Dean moves on, fine. I don't think he will, but, you know, at this point, just move Dean on. And that's all you need to do. And I liked how you had Dean attack Cena at the end, because, like, yeah, I'm cool with you, but you're getting in my way, so you know what? Screw you.
Yeah, so that was Monday Night Raw in a nutshell.
This was just okay. I mean, it had its really bright points, obviously being The Rock and Dean. But other than that, it was...
Same old, same old.
Yeah, this was just really just... Yeah.
Well, that will do it for this week's edition of the Raw Post Show Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Coming up Thursday, we have a guest on Thursday.
We do have a guest.
It would be Mike Kingston from Headlocked. It's a comic book series. He's coming on to talk about his Kickstarter and so much more. So we're going to talk about that on the rack, 10 p.m. Eastern, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And make sure, listen to me carefully, everyone, listen to the show on Thursday. And if you listen on Thursday, listen to the archive on Friday. Okay.
Yeah, because...
Okay, just listen to the show on Friday as well.
Yeah, we'll let you know, we'll tell you what's up on Thursday, but because we had plans, and, well, plans got changed. So we'll let you know Thursday night what we've got on our sleeves. Don't want to miss it. 10 p.m. Eastern right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
The Rack Extra Season 3 Episode 5 review will be out this Friday. So check it out. Go back and listen to Episode 4. Saturday night, midnight-ish at CB Radio, The Weird, The Wacky, The Unusual. To follow that show on Twitter, at CB Radio WTR, and Facebook.com/cigarette butts and bandanas. Tune into the show Saturday, as I may have an announcement on the show. I don't know if I'll be ready, but we might have an announcement on the show as well. So check it out. NFL picks, weird news, scrotal guard. It's all the fun. CB Radio, live, midnight-ish on Saturday nights. Sunday night is WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern. Follow that show on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night and Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. And we'll be back next Monday night for another edition of Raw Pusher live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network at 11:10 p.m. Eastern. Follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/WildTalkRadio Network. Check out WTRProductions.com.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LNSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view it, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitter. Listen to The Rack Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on wildtalkradio.com, and of course visit rackradioshow.com for all our past interviews, including with Edge, Eva Marie, and the awesome Brian Shields. So check it out.
Listen to The Rack Thursday. Make sure you listen to the archive, please. Friday.
Please.
And so much more. We'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show. Thanks to PW Mania and youtube.com/MBG1211. Wrestling Figure Wednesdays with Matt Goldberg for the proud sponsors of the show. She's Lindsay. I'm Rock. We'll see you Thursday for The Rack. And right back here next Monday night, live across the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Only on WildTalkRadio.com.